This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault, another fun-filled hour talking cars, trucks, SUVs, everything with wheels on it. Mike, how are you? Welcome to another week.
Oh, it's been a great week, man. I've been having a fun time, and it's a lot of stuff, exciting stuff going on.
You got a new microphone. Look at you.
Yes, got a new microphone. Look at me.
You sound all pro.
I'm like Matt Perrault Jr.
You sound all professional this week. It's good. It's good. All right. We got a lot of things to get to. Our reviews. Mike's got a Chrysler Pacifica. I got the 2021 Nissan Rogue that we're going to review that I had here in Vegas in the middle of a snowstorm.
Didn't you like it, by the way? I had it a couple weeks ago, and I really liked it.
I think the new things on it are neat, like the 90-degree doors are neat.
Yes.
For me, with a daughter who's six and getting in and out of the vehicle, it's like a little thing that you don't think of until you have it, and you're like, wow, that makes it really easy to get her in and out of the car. Yeah.
And it looks much better. I mean, although the other one was okay, I just happen to like this one better.
I do, too. I think it's a little more higher up. It's got a little bit more headroom. I mean, obviously, we get the fully loaded versions of these, but the double sunroof is really, really nice. Just some nice features. And obviously, the Pro Pilot Assist and the things, the tech packages that Nissan has are always, you know, very nice for the price point that vehicle is at. So, yeah, I found that to be really nice. And you were driving what? The Rolls Royce of vans these days?
Yeah. It was, you know, but the cool thing about the Pacifica, it doesn't look like a minivan. It was something that actually I or even you would even drive it, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. I would actually even drive one of these. It's because it doesn't look like a minivan.
Two doors or they come off, or just one side where the doors come off?
No, both sides the doors come back. You push the button and they come.
And they're both power, right?
Right, both power. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
That's neat.
And it's got all the storage under the floor and it's got all that really neat stuff. And, you know, it doesn't look like a minivan. In the back, it looks like an SUV, and in the front, it looks like a luxury car.
Really, it's from everything I've seen, I haven't driven one in a long time, but they've done some really nice work with it and really upped it a lot. So we've got that. Who are we talking to this week, Mike?
Oh, Travis Calhoun. He is the marketing manager for the new F-150, and it's a new F-150, totally new.
Again? Wow.
Again, yeah. F-150 21. Yep.
We got that coming up, and obviously our news and notes segment. We will get into what's happening in the automotive space when we come on back. Don't move. Automotive news and notes for Let's Talk Wheels next year on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Let's Talk Wheels, Mike Herzing, Matt Perrault. We continue into our news and notes segment, everything happening in the automotive space. Mike, let's start talking a bit about, well, this is a unique time, as we all know.
Yeah.
And since automotive sales were so down in 2020, we all wondered, okay, what would happen to get the sales back? Well, it feels like going on a train, a cab, an Uber, people may not be too keen on doing that, huh? It seems like car sales, automotive sales are going to get the benefit of that.
Well, actually, they really weren't all that bad. I mean, they're down, but boy, October, November, December, they really came back. And guy, it's really not a big deal, but there are so many changes. You're right. Nobody's taking people. There's like the last Thanksgiving, or even Christmas, they're talking about people didn't take planes. They didn't take, you know, buses or trucks. And a lot of companies, as we talked about the other day, a lot of companies said, okay, because of COVID, if you're going to get here to work, do not take mass transportation. Remember here, maybe having that story?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So people are driving their cars more. They're buying more cars. Gasoline is cheap. What the hell? You know? And well, so it's, look, car sales are coming back. And if they had more cars, they could have sold more.
It's interesting because we talked at the top about the new Nissan that I'll review coming in the next segment. But one of the things that they've figured out, which I love, is how to do Apple in Android Auto. When the vehicle has a Wi-Fi capable car, you don't have to have the string anymore. The cord is gone. It's a wireless Apple CarPlay now. And like that to me, I was like, man, just not that it's the only thing I care about, but that was such a huge luxury to have that the Wi-Fi enabled vehicles. If your vehicle is not Wi-Fi enabled, it's worth upgrading just for that. So I get why taxi business has dropped 90% since the start of the pandemic in New York City. Like, people just, if they have other modes of transportation, you'd rather have your own, where I know who's been in it and I know who's in it. It's just me. And I, so like, buying these commuter cars that are Wi-Fi enabled, it makes, to me, it makes perfect sense as to why people are buying vehicles.
Well, yeah, but they're also driving more. That's the whole thing. I was reading about, you know, everybody took all these trips, and it was like a significant number of people driving their own vehicles now on trips and for holidays and stuff and things like that. New Year's, Christmas, you know, all this stuff. And so think about that. A lot of the miles, people are also wanting new vehicles. The biggest problem right now is the dealers don't have the full stock.
Right.
But some of these stuff we were talking about, this new technology for F-150, for example, when they redesigned the new F-150, they developed a lot of goodies, okay? And like, for people that are driving a lot and working out of their vehicle, for example, the gear shift lever retracts and opens up this large workspace where you put your laptop and everything else.
Huh.
So the gear shift lever kind of moves out of the way. They have the new technology for self-driving, okay? All of the hardware is there, as we talked over off the air a minute ago.
Right.
All the hardware for the air that has cameras that faces the driver. So as long as it sees that you're paying attention, it self-drives the car. Now, the hardware is there. The software will be released at the end of the summer. Okay, the problem is, and it's not a huge problem, but the problem is it's going to cost money.
Right, of course.
And of course, it's another charge. Imagine that. But there was a deal here in this article we read about about these autonomous driving systems, such as Tesla and all that stuff, and Super Cruise. Everybody's loving it. And because you're going to have to be in the, on the road more, people don't like to drive. Otherwise, they wouldn't take mass transportation.
Right.
It says here that they've grossed these, all these new cars have been auto parking, the Hyundai, was it the Elantra that we,
right.
Yeah, where you push the key fob and it'll pull out and back in the garage for you. So you don't have to worry about opening the doors. They're working on it right now, and it's they're ready testing it and making it work. You can exit like the restaurant you're going to go to, and then push the button, and your car will go find a parking spot and park itself. And when you want it, it's like a car valet.
Okay, let's play this out. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So you drive through the little one handed bandit thing, right?
Right.
So it goes up. You have your ticket. You drive up. So what you're telling me is that we're going to drive into a parking garage, get out of the vehicle, hit whatever button to go find, and the thing's going to drive around until it finds a parking space.
Yes. It says, they said here, the guys here that were one of the interviews is, you don't have to park your car anymore or go looking for a spot. Okay. Which adds to urban congestion. Okay. It'll also make much better infrastructure. And so think of all the extra space would be if a car can park 6 inches from another one. Because you don't have to worry about opening the doors.
There's no debating that. I'm into it. Okay. I'm 100% into it. I'm in love with it. I think it's phenomenally a wonderful idea. I'm just thinking in Vegas, because this would be an enormous deal in Las Vegas, where we have parking in casinos in the parking garages that are monster here in Vegas. To have the ability of not having to deal with a valet, because you have to tip the valet and it's awkward and weird, and you've got a stranger in your vehicle, right? So COVID-19 problems and everything else. So most casinos here in Vegas, the valet has been closed for about 7 months. I think it's like, what casinos still doing valet?
Right.
So you're self-parking everywhere in Vegas when you go on the strip. So you drive up, you drive in one of these mega, mega huge parking garages, and I just can't believe I'm going to get out of the car and then go about my business, and the car's going to drive around maybe like 5, 6, 7 floors to go and try to find a parking space. And then, by the way, here's my other question. How do I know where the car went?
Well, I don't know that it really matters, because you're right. I don't know. But think about also, they will probably have some kind of electronic little map and say your car's right here.
Well, that's true, because the cars do on your phone. If you have Apple CarPlay, it geotargets the car and tells you your car is parked here. So, yes, that could actually work.
And I'm sure they'll have something in the parking spaces that say, by the way, this spot is open, and it tells your car and it'll come around and find it. You know, they're little electronic friends. I don't know. The little gremlins. But it sounds really cool. It sounds really space age, but. And I'm thinking this is wild and crazy. But then 5 years ago, having somebody, the car drive for you, like Tesla's and Super Cruise, GM, the GM and things like that, that never came to my mind, but here it is happening. So I don't know, man.
I think what would be cool, and just for the practicality standpoint, like if you had a parking attendant, right? And right. The parking attendant's job was to go ahead and park your vehicle for you, or have some type of it parked itself, but the vehicle was you just stacking cars together where a human being doesn't have to actually pull the door out.
Right.
You how much in Boston, Chicago, New York, where parking is such a premium, if you right. could put an additional 10 cars per deck, that right. would be wild to see if that could happen. That would make it much more easy to park, probably cheaper to park and everything.
What about handing your key fob to the valet? He pushes, you know, he could even say, just like, you know, have you ever been to a restaurant and they have a seating chart? And yeah. they go, okay, this table's open, this table. It tells your, tell the car to go to slot 17.
Yeah.
And it'll drive right and park itself. And then when you go to get it, they hand you your key. Of course, you got to give them a tip. And then, of course, and then he'll hand you your key and the car will, he'll pull the car around. But think about it, you know, it's raining and he can pull up underneath an awning. It's just in parking garages. When you look at the movies, you know, watching Ray Donovan or this or that, what do they shoot you at? That's a parking garage, right? That's where they mug you. So yeah. don't go into parking garages. This sounds like really cool stuff, man.
I like the idea a lot. In major market cities where parking is such a problem, I love the idea. In Vegas, where parking your car can take you a really long time, I love the idea.
I hate it.
I think it's really can be interesting. And yeah, you can just go ahead, get yourself dropped off at the main exit. And I think your idea of like finding open parking spaces and somehow it'd be able to identify where the open spot was and it drove to itself, like the car took itself down and parked. I love that idea. Like that would be really cool if you have to worry about actually physically going in the garage ever and the car right. itself, you know, pulled itself out, drove itself to you.
Right.
I mean, that would be pretty wild. If that were to happen, that would be really cool.
The scariest things are driving around parking lots. You know, people drive like idiots in parking lots.
Accidents, yeah. In particular here in Vegas, that's where the vast majority, really it's everywhere, but the vast majority of accidents happen when you're in reverse and you're coming out.
Yeah.
I had an experience a couple, 2 weeks ago with a press car where I had driven to, drop off something, a return from my wife at a store and a guy, I didn't know this, but a guy was being chased by mall security for stealing something.
Uh-oh.
And he drove into his car and I was backing up. He had run while I was trying to back up slowly. He had jumped into his car and had flown out. It's like threw the car in reverse and slammed on the gas.
Right.
My car luckily stopped us from hitting because
it was a new car. Yeah.
It was a Hyundai and it had basically, it could see someone behind me and went, and it stopped. So I luckily didn't get hit by the guy pulling out like a maniac. So yeah, I mean, the
there you go.
It can save you, but that's when a lot of your accidents happen when you don't see someone doing something crazy. You'll come flying in the parking spaces in reverse.
The other side of that is when you go to these kind of places and you go to a hotel and you're going to spend $200 a night, then they charge you $25 or $30 to park your vehicle. That besides the fact that it irks me like crazy, but maybe you can say, I'll park down the street and send your car to go down the street,
yes.
you know, at a cheaper place. I mean, that's one of my huge pet peeves for places like Vegas where you pay an outrageous price for a hotel room and then they go ahead and tack on a $30 or $35 a night parking fee.
And it's the parking fee and it's a resort fee on top of that. I mean, you know, after the pandemic's over, there's a lot of thought that's going to end here in Vegas, that those types of nickel and diming, because people are going to need to be enticed to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those days of basically not catering to the player anymore and just trying to take the player for as much as possible, that's going to be slowed down.
Yeah. But
I hope so. I mean,
people now are camping and going out and doing things in the outdoors and healthy and family and things like that. And I think that is awesome. Look at you guys. What do y'all do on weekends? Go camping, go out in the mountains, go off four wheeling. And, you know, gosh, it's great, isn't it?
Oh, it's phenomenal. We were up in Mount Charleston on Saturday. My daughter and I went to go see the snow. We got about 8 inches of snow. Last weekend, we got 22 inches of snow this past week.
That's crazy.
So she's counting down the days for us to go ahead. And this is one of the benefits, one of the reasons why we got the Jeep Grand Cherokee that we have, the 4x4 version of it. So we can go up there in the mountains and go tool around in the snow. So yeah, looking forward to doing that for sure coming up, you know, this coming weekend.
That'll be fun.
Oh yeah. Coming up next, we have got our automotive reviews. Mike's got a Pacifica. I got a Rogue to tell you all about. And then we will have our interview and more coming up. It is Let's Talk Wheels right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Time now for our automotive reviews. Mike Herzing's got his just here in just 1 second. He's got a Pacifica for you. But this week, I had the pleasure of driving a 2021 Nissan Rogue. This is an all-new platform, new technology, new powertrain, new rear multi-link suspension, new steering system, the new vehicle motion control technology they talk about, new exterior and interior designs. It's got a platinum grade level and a really fun vehicle. This is a modern family vehicle that I think you have to really, really drive to appreciate. There are a couple of things right out of the gate that I want to get into, because I thought the blind spot intervention, the traffic sign recognition, the intelligent driver alertness technology, and the rear door alert, all the things that they've added are really great. These are features that have been part of the Rogue for a while, and they're awesome. Now, we know about the ProPilot Assist. We know about the comfort that it comes from riding in these vehicles. But here's a couple of things that jumped out at me. First and foremost, wireless Apple CarPlay. Okay. That is a home run. That is not just a single, a double. That's a home run. It is seamless. It worked really, really well. And I was absolutely in love with it. The Wi-Fi inside the vehicle was really, really cool. And man, I now need it. It's like one of those things where you get in a car and it doesn't have it. You're like, oh man, I got to plug my phone in for Apple CarPlay. Super annoying. Love it. Absolutely love it. That is a huge step forward. And look, the Nissan Intelligent Mobility Technologies, this is what they've been doing, right? This is how they've been doing it. The exterior is gorgeous. Okay. They have this new unique headlight shape and U-shaped body side headlights, which are really, really nice. But here's the one thing that really jumped out at me. When you open the back doors, they go 90 degrees. Now, if you got a kid like I do, 90 degrees to get your kid in and out of a vehicle with 90 degree doors, awesome. That was really, really cool. I very much like that a lot. They call the interior the family hub. There's a couple things in it that I want to like to highlight a lot. They have in the back a couple of storage options. You got a big, big trunk, huge trunk, but it also has this one space right on the right hand side of the trunk that can hold a gallon of milk really easily. They also have a door pocket, which can hold a 32 ounce bottle or 32 ounce thermos or whatever you might have, really big, easily to slide that in there after the gym or whatnot, which is really, really nice. I love that as well. That was a nice, little, very cool feature. The gallon of milk, by the way, you put it back there, it won't tip over. It's got a holder, so it will hold the gallon of milk for you if you're coming back from the supermarket or wherever. So that's very, very cool. I really liked the seats in this vehicle. The zero gravity seats were very comfortable. You're kind of high up and you're able to kind of see around and see everything around you. Really good for sight and being able to kind of, you know, make sure nothing's coming at you in different angles, which I really liked a lot. And look, the safety shield 360, the safety shield 360 that is offered, when you're in reverse, you see everything around you. So nothing's going to bang into you, which is really, really cool. So, you know, one thing we know about Nissan is they always do a great job when it comes to the technology packages and the interiors and then how it drives, right? This is, you know, the Nissan Rogue is a driving car for families. The fuel economy is better. The horsepower is up. The torque is up here on this vehicle. I loved it. You pop it into sport mode and this thing just zip and it moves. I think this thing is a lot of fun. And this is a pre-production model that I had. So when this thing does come out, I think it's going to be an absolute home run. I think Rogues, look, for my family, we're looking at a vehicle coming up in August. So for us, we're going to be looking at this vehicle. We're going to be test driving it. My wife's going to drive it. She's going to get into it and feel it. It's got a great back seat. I like it. It's nimble. It's quick. The tech packages are awesome. The wireless Apple CarPlay is a monster seller. All your blind spot detections, the tech packages are huge. It rides smoothly. It looks great. definitely, when this thing's available to you and you can go test drive it, I highly recommend you check out the Nissan Rogue, because they've done some really cool things to it. And I think you're going to find the upgrades really, really nice. All right, Mike, what were you driving this week?
Guys, this week I was driving the 2021 Chrysler Pacifica. Now, they have several different models of this, and it's totally redesigned. This thing is crazy. This is the anti-minivan minivan. Because it doesn't look like a minivan. It looks like an SUV from the back and a really good-looking car from the front. I would actually not be embarrassed to drive this, and normally I would not drive a minivan, okay? But it's so cool. As a matter of fact, the one I had was the Pinnacle version, which is like driving an executive town car, okay? It is really good-looking with pleated seats and everything. Of course, it's loaded down. It's like $54,000. It has everything you'd ever want on it. Now, bigger center console, much more plusher seats. The second row is really neat. Captain's chairs, and it has all the video screens and everything. This is neat. You know, don't forget, Chrysler's the first people that built the minivan in like 84, okay? And for 2021, they have really redesigned the Pacifica. And like I said, it's got stow-and-go seating. This one doesn't, but the other models do. And that's the seats where you just flip the lever and it shoots down under the floor, which is really nice. One thing they've done, they've added a lot more standard content, and they've also added an all-wheel drive system, which is really great. They have a Touring, the Touring L. They have the regular ones. These things start at about $35,000, and they go up, obviously. But the one thing exciting is they've added a hybrid. Okay, it's on all four Pacifica trim levels. You can get the whole bit with, and you're also eligible for the $7,500 federal tax credit, along with any state and local credits too. But it gives you up to 80 miles per gallon equivalent. 80 miles per gallon E. The standard one gets 25 on the highway, and it actually will get it. And about 20 average 17 city. And it works great. It runs good. It scoots. It has so many neat standard features now. First of all, they come out with a new Uconnect audio system, okay? And it's got a 10.1-inch touchscreen. It's the biggest one in its class. You know, this thing has got standard automatic emergency braking, including pedestrian automatic emergency braking, 14 new standard safety features. It has dynamic cruise control. It has backup alerts. It has, you park too close to somebody, the alarm goes on. It's got the round view cameras. This has got everything you want to keep you out of trouble. And it's got also something called Park Sense, which is the front and rear parking assistance, and it stops itself. Parallel and perpendicular parking assist with stop. So you don't bang into anything. If you're one of those people that maybe doesn't have a real good depth perception, perfect. Okay. The adaptive cruise control, it'll go all the way down to a stop and then go again. Blind spot, rear cross path protection, all that stuff. Lane departure warning. You can even adjust it so it doesn't jerk the wheel out of your hand and things like that. Full speed forward collision warning, advanced brake assist, rain assisting wipers, advanced all the different airbags, got a gazillion airbags around it. It's really neat. Got the 8-way power seats. You push this button and the side doors open, even on your key fob. You got remote start. You can push the doors open, open the tailgate. You know, the automatic, you know, deal with your foot to open the tailgate. It's got heated and cooled seats, heated standard second row seats, power folding third row seat. Push the button and it's gone. This good-looking suede headliner, huge sunroof. Everything on this vehicle is a lot of fun, and it's fun to drive. On the highway, it's awesome. I took my grandkids with them, and they were watching. One of them was watching a movie on one screen in the back, and the other one, and they have wireless headsets, and the other one was playing a video game. Two separate things. They were happy. And my wife and I could just have a conversation, listen to our own music instead of having to listen to something that's a kid thing. So that's really cool. It's got a Wi-Fi hotspot. It has all the different things. Great audio system. It's got the trailer towing and all this kind of stuff. It's something called a fam cam, which is kind of cool on the upper level ones, where you can look around and see the other people. Some minivans would have a little, kind of a mirror that would come down and you could see a wide angle mirror. This one has cameras. Okay, it's cool. You can see what the kids are doing, whether you've got dogs or animals in the back. It was okay. It's got, like I said, the audio system was great. 18 Harman Kardon speakers with a subwoofer. It sounds awesome. And the thing is so quiet on the highway, that makes the audio system sound even better. Like I said, right now, I'm sure by next year, there'll be probably 60% of these things will be sold as hybrids. And I can see that. They really do drive smooth and great. The one I had was the actual V6, which scoots. But everybody wants the better fuel economy and the quietness around, you know, things like that for a hybrid. Guys, if you haven't driven a minivan lately, check out the Chrysler. It's the king of minivans. And
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. Mike Herzing along with Matt Perrault. You know what? We talked earlier about how popular Jeep is to us, obviously, and our listeners. And we got our good friend Jim Morrison, head of the Jeep brand, on the line. He's going to talk about the new, I mean, emphasize, new Grand Cherokee they launched last week. Jimmy, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels.
Hey, Mike, good to be on talking about the new Grand Cherokee.
Oh, I love seeing you on that launch, you know, your smiling face. And I knew this was something you've been working on for a lot of years, hadn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I go back to the first time, you know, back in 2010, you and I were standing in the field, you know, at the Texas Rodeo. It was, you know, the first time that one of the first major awards that the Grand Cherokee won back then in 2010 was the SUV of Texas, you know, and having that big trophy, and, you know, it kicked off. And now it's actually the most awarded SUV of all time, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The Grand Cherokee. So, you know, replacing it and updating it meant a lot to us here at Jeep. And, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, very loyal customers along the way that are waiting for the new Grand Cherokee. So, We're happy to be coming on board with it. I've got one in my driveway. I'm staring at it right now. You know, it's a little bit cold here in Michigan, or I'd be sitting in it and having the conversation with you. but it's you know, it's an amazing new Jeep, and I can't wait to bring it to the marketplace.
You know, there's so many people. I've got a lot of little angst and anxiety out there. Like, are they changing it? All of them? Do they have to get the 3-row? I mean, are they changing it? Does it look okay? And then I show it to them. They go, oh, it looks okay. We really like it. You know, people don't want change.
Well, it is. It's amazing. And, you know, we've done 7 million Grand Cherokees, and we've evolved it kind of each step of the way. This is fifth gen. And, you know, we need to make sure we stay true to our core. And this Jeep does absolutely that. And I can tell you one of the things, you know, because I've had, you know, probably 25, 26 Grand Cherokees over the years, and they've all been 2-rooms. Mm-hmm. And even with 3 kids and the need, you know, with towing trailers and putting all of my stuff in it, going to horse shows, you know, over the years I needed a 3-row, but I stuffed, you know, everything into my 2-row Grand Cherokee. And thankfully my daughter is small, so she fits nicely in the middle. But, you know, there's a lot of people that couldn't do that. And, you know, expanding it to the 3-row is something that brings, you know, a whole new wealth of customers that need a 3rd-row into the Jeep brand, and I think it's going to be great to welcome them on board. But our loyal customers don't have anything to worry about. We're bringing on board the 2-row. We'll show it a little bit later this year, mm-hmm. So it's not far behind. It's coming, and it will have a very capable and a very luxurious model as well. Can't wait to bring that on board. And then the other thing that we're doing, I know some people are talking about electrification as well, but we're going to bring our 4xe that we're just launching now in the Wrangler onto Grand Cherokee later in the year as well. So, you know, the Grand Cherokee 3-row, or the L that we're calling it, is really just the start. There's more to come.
Well, you know, it is really great. Like I said, people love the because I know I have like 4 or 5 listeners/friends that have gone out of a Tahoe or out of an Expedition and gone into the Grand Cherokee because they love the 5.8 size. You know what I mean? You ever heard that?
Yes, I have. And, you know, it's just the right size, looks good, the proportions are amazing, but it also does all of the right stuff. You know, if you want to tow 7,200 pounds, it can tow. You know, right. You want to, you know, lift it up to almost Wrangler Rubicon-like, you know, ground clearance and get over some logs and get into your favorite fishing spot or go hunting some boar, it can do that, you know. Or you can put your family in it and, you know, dress up in a tux and go to a symphony. You know, it's got that much scope. It's one of the most acceptable vehicles out there because it can do anything you want, and that's what we really like about the Grand Cherokee franchise, and that's what we've done with, you know, the new 2021 Grand Cherokee. So, you know, keeping true to form, you know, with what Jeep customers expect from us, and taking it to the next level.
Well, you know, that last platform was evidently kind of a derivative of some of the old Mercedes platform that you guys gotten years ago. Did you change the platform or just use something that works?
Yeah, no, it's an all-new platform. It needed to be a little more flexible this time because, you know, obviously we need to take some weight out, but it needed to be stronger because it needed to accommodate a third row. Mm-hmm. It also accommodates our 3 4-wheel drive platforms and electrification. So it needed to be all new. But I can tell you one thing, it's amazing. It's got 125% more structural rigidity torsionally. So it's really strong. And then we've updated the suspension and, you know, in order to make it drive even better. I think one of the things that Grand Cherokee does well today is it drives almost like a car.
Yes.
There's no compromise. And we've taken that to the next level here with the next generation because we put the axle right down on the engine, done a multi-link suspension. So some really good engineering is making this even better. It's stronger and at the same time, you know, rides even better. And it's, of course, it's a Jeep, so it's even more capable.
Wow. You know, because that's the whole point. People think it's just a Durango. I said, no, this is a whole new sheet of paper. Now, at some point, the Durango may be a copy off of this, but it won't have all the Jeep goodies. I mean, Jeep is unique for you guys, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we start with four-wheel drive capability, and we need to be the best. You know, and whether our customers think about it, dream about it, or do it, they know they've got the best four-wheel drive. And, you know, for me last night here in Michigan, you know, great example. You know, it had a snowstorm last night, and you know, it was like 11 o'clock by the time I got some time and got enough snow on the ground. So my son and I, Brett, we jumped in the Jeep, and I expected to go for about 5 minutes just to see how now it was working, how the transfer of torque was working, and all of that kind of stuff. Because what I'm driving is a Limited, it's got a select train on the Limiteds for the first time, so it actively manages the torque on all of our models.
Right.
But I can tell you that an hour later, we came back after playing in the snow. It was a blast, and it is just so much fun, and it's so capable. You put it into snow mode, you know, it starts the Jeep in second gear. It moves the torque split 50-50, so it's well-balanced right from the get-go, and it's really confidence-inspiring. In the snow, not that you guys in Texas care, but, you know, same thing if, you know, if you're running it in the sand or if you're running it, you know, through, some mud or whatever, it's got all of the traction you can look for. And then, one of the other things that you guys will enjoy with, hopefully I don't get another storm, but it'll easily ford through 2 feet of water, which is incredible. Nobody else does that. So capability means a lot to us at Jeep, and, we've taken it to the next level with the new Grand Cherokee.
Yeah, we do the water. Folks, we're talking to Jim Morrison, head of the Jeep brand in North America, about the new Grand Cherokee. Jim, this is a big seller for you guys. I mean, it's not a Wrangler, but my gosh, you guys sell the hell out of these things.
Yeah, we do. In fact, you know, had another record year here last year, and happy to really look to expand again here in 2021 with the new Grand Cherokee, you know, with the 3-row, because there's a lot of people that really truly need that third row, and we expect them to come on board, you know, for the extra look or space or capability that they're going to get in the new Grand Cherokee. And then we have the best loyalty in the segment, so we expect to keep them around for a long time. Once you're a member of the Jeep family, we like to keep you around, so that's good.
You know, the funny thing about the Jeeps, they don't ever sell them. They end up just giving them to the kids and stuff like that. And now that you guys have the Wagoneer coming out and the Grand Wagoneer, that'll be something else for somebody to have.
Yeah, for sure, and you know, a conversation for another time. But that Grand Wagoneer is going to be absolutely incredible, and just lots of emotion with that. With one of the best, you know, storied nameplates over the years with the Grand Wagoneer. One of the things I haven't talked about yet is all the safety stuff that we put in the new Grand Cherokee. It's just packed.
Okay, tell us about it. Keep going.
Well, it's got everything from a new 360 surround view camera that. When you're backing up, you can see all the way around your Jeep. It's got night vision, which is really cool.
Night vision? Come on.
Night vision, yeah. And it'll actually alert you for both people and animals. So, you know, a lot of our, you know, Grand Cherokee customers are active people. And, you know, when night comes, they don't slow down. They just keep going. It's got really good headlights. Mm-hmm. But it will also alert you if it sees, you know, a deer or a boar jumping out of the ditch on you and come up, and it will alert you. And it will even bring the alert up on our new heads up display right in the windshield. So you never need to take your eyes off the road, and your Jeep will do some of the really cool, detections for you. So it's great technology.
It has all the wireless chargings and all that other goodies.
You know, the wireless charging, I think, is one of my favorites because, you know, you just throw your phone down, on the open door console, mm-hmm. and it charges for you. And the best thing is it automatically connects to a CarPlay, so right. Android Auto as well. One of the neat things is I'm addicted to Waze. you know, I probably shouldn't tell you why, but it's you know, it's great when it tells you where the police are. But the or traffic flow or all the other things mm-hmm. that you look for Waze for. And it brings it up, and it's on our 10-inch screen, so it's a full 10-inch Waze screen, which is amazing. You can get you know, all of that right up on the big 10-inch screen, and it will tell you, you know, everything you need to know. And then one of my other favorite items is we've got the Jeep. You can just talk to it, and I know people are used to saying, you know, "Hey Siri" and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You just say, "Hey Jeep," and it was funny. I was playing with it with my wife on the weekend, and I was looking to, you know, do a pickup at a restaurant, and you know, so I said, hey Jeep, guide me to Villager restaurant, and it actually sent me to a Villager restaurant in Orlando. So I'm like, oh crap, and then my wife just looks at me, she said, it's Villagers. So I actually called it the right thing. And the Villagers in Holly jumped up, and it was right there, you guided me right to it first time. So I said, actually had to say the right name, and it was really cool. So you can say, "Hey Jeep," and you go through it, so some really really cool safety tech. You don't ever have to take your hands off the wheel. In fact, with the "Hey Jeep," you never even have to touch the steering wheel. You just have to say, "Hey Jeep."
That is
some pretty cool tech.
That is so cool. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves is the wireless charging. I love it, but I've got a phone, and one of those iPhones, which I also dislike too. But I've got it, and it's an XS and I put a little case, a little OtterBox case on it, and I get about half the vehicles I get to test drive. They don't fit. You know what I mean? You guys don't make the hole big enough for a bigger phone, so it's useless. You know what I mean? You ever run into that?
Well, I can tell you, because my wife has the biggest case, because it's ready, so if she falls off a horse,
right?
It's there. So it's the thickest case possible, and it's a gigantic phone. So she tossed it in, and it worked just perfectly. So lots of fun, lots of really easy to use, and you don't really need to be that precise with where it lands either in the space. I know sometimes you got to be right kind of locked into the, mm-hmm. the millimeter. You can just kind of throw it down, and it goes ahead and charges and then actively connects to wireless CarPlay and Android Auto, which is really good because both of those, you know, it saves you maybe it's just 30 seconds every time you get in the car, but, man, that time adds up over, you know, the convenience.
And it's just convenience. You know, I've got a brand-new Pinnacle Pacifica right now that has wireless just like that. Jimmy, you're running out of time. What do you want to close with?
You know what? If you like music, you got to check this out. We put a Macintosh 19 speaker, 950-watt sound system in it. It's actually got the needles, you know, from right out of Macintosh. It's amazing. Our Grand Cherokees have always been really good with music, and we've taken it to the next level here with the Grand Cherokee L. So. Looking forward to you guys taking it. Only other thing is talk about Summit. If you want to get wrapped in more real wood, more real leather, and more real metal than any other SUV in the marketplace, you got to check out our Summit because it's lining up to be the next SUV of Texas.
We'll tell you what, we're so excited about it, folks. Thanks for joining us today, Jimmy.
Great talking to you, Mike.
All right, this is Jim Morrison from our friends at Jeep. Now, don't go away, folks. Still more to come with our weekly segment with Jeremy Berenbaum. From Classic.com, all of it right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
As we continue on Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network, Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing, as we get into, well, Mike, what are you talking to Jeremy Barenbaum this week on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network podcast? You can find where you get your podcasts.
Well, we're talking about classic cars. Obviously, that's our classic car segment, but a lot about how to put your vehicle up, how to get it right. Because I found out the vehicle that I bought, I can double my money. It's worth a lot more than I thought it was. Huh. And one of the things I go on his site, and you can actually price out your vehicle, get the value, send them photos, tell them a story about it, and they'll give you a really good value. And you may go, holy crap, man, I can get a lot of money. So, or maybe it's not worth as much as I thought, you know, one or the other, but it was really interesting. We had a nice talk. It's going to be really good. People are going to be interested in this.
Yeah, it is. You know, do you think people are attracted to classic cars more for the chance to flip it to make money or for the experience of owning it?
Experience of owning it. There's so many neat things. It's just bringing you back to yesteryear. Right. And everybody loves hot rods, or somebody wants a classic, or maybe their grandmother had this, or their dad used to own, you know, this or that, you know. And so, like me, I was Army Jeeps. I always wanted Army Jeeps, which I have one, you know. And I've always wanted an early, late 50s Ford truck, and got one of those too. And I may have it for a while, but if somebody offers me a really good price, it's going to be hard not to say, okay, see you later. You know what I mean?
Well, like anything else, right? Everything's for sale, right?
Pretty. My Jeep is not, but on everything else, yeah, this is it's neat. And classic is just something you get in your bug. It's like owning a Jeep, for example. Everybody's going to wants another one. And it's like being a sports nut, you're a car nut. Just the way it is. You collect sports memorabilia because Don Drysdale's this or Hank Aaron's that or whatever you want to be.
Welcome, everybody, to the Let's Talk Wheels Classic Car segment. As usual, we have our resident car guru, Jeremy Barenbaum from Classic.com. Jeremy, how crazy has it been in Los Angeles this week?
Oh, man, it's been super crazy. You know, we just got a bunch of cars up on the website, and you know, everyone's calling us from different angles trying to get information on them, so that's always good to hear, right?
Well, no kidding. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm looking at this thing, and your site is growing like crazy, exponentially, and I'm looking at some of these vehicles, and some of the prices are not as good as I thought it should be on certain ones, and certain ones, they're like berserk. I mean, these square-bodied Chevys, yeah, pickup trucks are going for stupid money, like as bad as a Bronco. So what are some of the trends that you guys are seeing on this stuff?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing, like you said, the square body cars and the trucks in general, anything big block motors are really desirable and going quickly right now. There's definitely an attachment people are having to cars that they can go out and drive, and I'm not going to say be bulletproof, but, you know, a little bit better than a 30s or 40s car. I think we're seeing a turn from, you know, people really want these cars to be able to do stuff in them and not just go to car shows, but be able to go anywhere and everywhere with family, friends, no matter what kind of, you know, vacation they want to do. They want a classic or cool car to do it in.
You know, you're right. And speaking of trucks, you know, if you get a mid-80s, anywhere from late 70s to late 80s, Chevy, Ford, or Dodge truck, you can go 85, 90 miles an hour on the freeway, whatever you want. It'll have air conditioning. It'll have power brakes. It'll have power steering. It'll have some creature comforts, you know, maybe electric windows, but that's not the most important thing. But, you know, but the most important thing, it's you can go places with it. You may get horrible fuel economy, but it'll still go places.
Yeah, but, you know, you got a manual fuel injection, so you're probably going to be starting easier. You know, just the little things that you don't think about, like you said, power brakes versus drum and that sort of thing. And so I think that we're starting to see is maybe people that are on their younger end, like my age, that are used to getting in a car, turning the key and going and right, starting to want to see that in the classic cars that they purchase, you know. A lot of people I talk to say that, oh, I really love 30s and 40s styling and the way those cars look, but I don't feel like that's really reflective in the prices that these cars are going for and the rates they're going for. I think they're sitting on the market a little bit longer, and it's taking the right person to want to buy some of the early 30s, 40s, even starting to creep into the 50s cars And I think there's also a fear of not being able to work on it.
You know, you're right. But, you know, to me, you would think it would be the opposite, because it's much easier to work on something from, you know, the maybe the 60s and earlier than 60s and later, because there's all the electronics and stuff that were starting to be, you know, that were added later on.
I'm with you there. I think, you know, the sweet spot really is between late 50s to early 70s. You know, that's where my heart lies in the classic cars, especially when you look at the design and style of them. But then also, like you're saying, the ability to change and fix and work on your own car, I think that's really the sweet spot. Once you start getting into cars with the computers or that sort of thing, it's a little bit tougher. You have to have a little bit more skill behind you.
You know, you're right. But there's such an advantage. Like my 58 F100 is a beautiful vehicle, wonderful, drives good, V8, automatic. But, you know, at 60 miles an hour, it's turning a lot of RPMs. I'm going to put a manual tach on there for a little while just to see what it's doing. But it's uncomfortable. You know, if I take it on the freeway at 70 or 75 would be really difficult.
Yeah, I get that. And we hear that often. You hear that from new buyers. They don't want to be limited to where they can go with their car. They want to kind of be able to, you know, do everything they do in a normal new car. Which is sometimes tough, and sometimes you have to let them get some sort of expectation of, you know, these are classic cars, they break, you need to fix things here and there all the time, and that's just the nature of the beast. What we're really seeing is stock cars are doing better, in my opinion, than things that have been modified and changed too much. And when I say modified and changed too much, I'm talking about, like, different motor, and that sort of thing, not just, you know, hey, I changed the interior and whatnot. We're seeing cars that are big blocks, you know, going for more than small blocks, of course, even though, you know, gas is relatively expensive depending on where you are, which is surprising. But I think that the owners of these classic cars still want to have that power and rumble, especially when it's not their daily driver.
You know, you're right, but also you don't have the power that, you know, figure it out. You know, a four-cylinder now has way more power than my V8, you know, but that's the sad part. But you know, the other side of that is it's just being able to do things with them. You're right. I mean, I'll have to change the differential, but the point is, if I change the differential or the rear axle on my truck, I'm going to have to get something that's going to fit, and then I've got to figure it out. And then if I ever sell the truck, I have to tell somebody, if you ever need parts, this is a whatever. I've got a friend, like I told you earlier about, last year, has a 35 Chevrolet, and it's a hot rod, and it's got, you know, a small block Chevy and a Chevy transmission, and then it's automatic, and then it's got a Mustang or something rear end and rear axle, and it's got so-and-so brakes. She has a book that she got with it that has every single, this is where this came off of, this is what this came off of, this is what this came off of, and all the part numbers of the normal parts you would use. If the guy put brakes and wheel cylinders on it and drums, these are the parts he got from Napa or O'Reilly's or whatever. And so you've got to have that type of information, because you can't say, I've got a 58 so-and-so, like you're 55 F1, okay, but it may have drum brakes or the front end off of a Camaro, but what your Camaro and this kind of stuff, right?
Oh yeah, I definitely have those type of, I don't want to call them issues, but they're characteristics of the car that you have to remember when you go to buy stuff. Because like you said, even when you go to, you know, Napa or CarQuest or whatever, sometimes the computers don't go that far back. So you say, I have a 55 F100, blah, blah, blah. You're better off sometimes just bringing that part in there and seeing if they can match it or compare it. But yeah, like you're saying, you know, when you go to buy a car that's been, I don't want to say Frankenstein, but you know what I mean. It's kind of got different parts from all sorts of different things. You got to be cautious of what you're buying, make sure it's the right part. And it's a little bit harder to ask the opinion of someone else from the community or at a shop, because they're not going to know all the specificities of what you have in your garage.
Well, you know, you're right. And see, it's so much harder now. You go to an auto parts store, and unless you can find an old timer that's in the 60s that's still there, he doesn't know. They're going to show a brake shoe, and there's somebody that has a computer. I'm sorry, I look up these things by my computer says what's the year, make, and model, okay, or the VIN number. That's how I look up stuff. I can't just go back there and find brake shoes, start opening boxes, and see what fits. You know, I might have 200 different boxes to open.
I had the same issue. You know, I ordered a part for my dad for his 65 Buick Riviera. It was an oil pressure sending unit. Mm-hmm. I don't know tons about that specific sending unit, so I just called in, told them my year, make, and model, and they sent it to me. When I got it, the diameter of the sending unit was larger than the one I was replacing. That's all I know is the mm-hmm. difference between how one looks and the other. And just for that reasoning, I said, this isn't going to work. I got to get a new one. But, you know, it kind of hurts you if you don't know exactly what you're looking for. It's better to take that part with you so you can compare and match up.
Well, you're right. That particular thing, if it has a quarter inch threads, it should work. It should be fine because it's but you're right. If there's certain kind of like room restraints where you can can't be too big or right, it may not work. But you don't know what the guy put on there. You know what I mean? I've seen him put on there from, you know, a oil pressure sending unit from a Honda on there. You know what I mean? As long as it threads on, people will do it.
Yeah. And you know, that's kind of when you're going to look at a car, that's the part of vetting you're doing on the buyer, or excuse me, on the owner, is this person, you know, as I talk to them, I get the right feeling that they did the right things for this car, because you're inheriting all the stuff that this person did. So you might as well kind of make sure that you check them out first, not only the car, but the person.
You know, that's so important. Somebody goes, well, I took the stock front end off of this and put on a Camaro front end or this whatever. And like you were talking about how a lot of people do that on the old drum brakes and all that. Great. Fine. Awesome. What Camaro, you know, what's the VIN number on the vehicles? How can I get parts for it later on? You know what I mean? That's going to be – you've got to think ahead rather than just show up and go to your tech, your mechanic, and go, by the way, I need you know, control arm bushings or, you know, sway bar bushings or something like that. And he's going to look at you and go, well, what do I order it for? Because this vehicle had a straight axle. You know, it had leaf springs. What do I do? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you and I have talked about this before, but whenever you go to change anything on your car, whether it's, you know, replacing it for new old stock or for a performance part that is supposedly better, I always say throw it in a box, keep it with your car. You never know what you're going to do later on. If you want to bring it back to original, you want to sell it to someone else that has that desire. So when you keep those parts, it definitely helps. Not only yourself, but the value of your car.
But also save your receipts. Like if somebody put a wheel cylinders on the vehicle, like this lady had a wheel cylinder on it, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 years ago, they put wheel cylinders on it. These are the part numbers from Napa. If you want to go back, you can cross-reference it to CarQuest or whatever you want. But here's the one we use, and they work perfectly. Here's the brake shoes to get. And so she's got this in the book and receipts. So you can go back and get the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that definitely helps, you know, the value of your car, and when you go to sell it, not just the value, but, you know, helping to confirm the sale with a new buyer, is if you have all that information, it makes them feel more comfortable about the purchase because you're being very forward and upright with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, folks, if you have anything that you want to add to all this, because really use your input, give me an email at info@letstalkwheels.com, because we'd really like to get your information. Now, if you've got a specific thing that happened to you and that you wish you had known, or this or that, like one of these differential parts, and you took 6 months to find the right parts because you didn't know what it was and this kind of stuff. Let us know that, because I really like to find out some of the trials and tribulations that everybody's had doing that. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, it's not uncommon. Everyone in the industry is doing it in one way or another, and sometimes it's something you can laugh at.
Yeah, right, folks. And if you have any car questions, just email me at info@letstalkwheels.com, and I or Jeremy will work to get everybody an answer. And remember, you can find us, our website, you can go to Facebook, Instagram, tell your friends about the podcast and ask them to subscribe. We would really appreciate that, because we're really trying to grow this podcast and try to do more on behalf of the classic car community. And once again, on behalf of Matt Peralt, Jeremy Barenbaum, our wonderful producer, Bad Boy Jack McCraw, and myself, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels radio podcast. I'm Mike Herzing, and as always, happy motoring.